Dr. Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about podcast while waiting for my daughter to finish training. It's going to finish at 8 o'clock, so I've got 20 minutes roughly to give you an update on technologies, things technological. I've got a range of projects on the run, running through concept prototype, research prototype to pre-production prototype. And that's happened with the Einstein de Haas pendulum. I've built the concept prototype and quickly solved too many problems too quickly, and I'm going from the research prototype to the pre-production prototype. So I've ordered in specialty ceramic and specialty wound cores. You can get a wound, 1,000-turn wound core with a 1 centimeter diameter solenoid of reasonable copper wire for $5 each from China. So, and they've been shipped right now. And so I've got the next prototype coming up for there. Now the important thing with the research prototype, you build open so you can get access to it, change it all the time. The production prototype, the variability that you have in your research prototype, you can eliminate that and make it smaller and more compact. And I'm sort of scratching my head as to what exactly I'll do to make it more, made less area. So in general, the concept or the research prototype, you can get your hands in, move it, get access to various bits and pieces, and I'll put it on a rotary table and put it on a goniometer, basically, so you can vary the direction of gravity, direction of the Earth's magnetic field by just rotating it, and it's fairly robust. And of course, it's not a done deal. So the Einstein de Haas one is that you use variation of the spin of the electrons to vary the angular momentum and to rock up your pendulum. And essentially, the key engineering thing there is a pendulum configuration which neutralizes having it cancels the coupling, the jumping up and moving around coupling, and a switching which is got really down to I suppose it would be nanosecond, definitely microsecond switching on it, such that the device feels very smooth magnetic field. The magnetic field changes on a dime. That's pretty amazing how it the electronics can actually achieve that. And so we're going up to the next prototype now. The prototype is much smaller. It involves tandem or two solenoid coils with a gap in between, and in that gap you'll introduce the laser. Now the lasers, the first laser I bought was $4. I bought it locally, but from China, 70 cents. They're 70 cents each of these lasers. So the overall build is under $15 to build it. Then you have to get the Arduino, which is, so all up, it's about $20 Australian to build this, and a bit of engineering to get it straight. There's things that you want to do. Now, more and more you see the Arduino technology as last year's. So I've got that ordered in to go ahead. Just trying to think in my head, oh yeah, what hasn't happened? And so in doing this, I've also begun working on, I've put aside for the moment the Thompson experiment. So in general, what I'm doing is, in this rehab phase, just working on overall problems and not being overwhelmed by, oh shit, sorry, there's someone backing out of the car, nearly crashed here. I hate this type of stuff. It's doing quite well though. So in general, I'm doing production prototypes, and it's one of these things that you don't have to convince a lot of people. You do the maths, you realize that you can produce it, and people can be critical of you, and they're probably right, but they're not right that you're not able to solve the problem, systematically solve the problem. So once you've solved the problems, you accumulate it. So in general, if an interaction with the system, it's non-accumulative. There's no integration of time, but when you're building production prototypes. So the next thing I've decided to do is just poking around with the idea of a smart Wi-Fi beaker. And so this beaker would have a Wi-Fi internet broadcast the pH of your beaker and be able to speak to other beakers which can actually put fluid into it. And this is a fantastic device. So looking at it, I looked at Arduino, which has got a large footprint, and so the large footprint, you'd have to build a stadium and put the beaker on top of it. So it's the size of the Arduino is pretty the size of the base of a coffee cup. And sort of looking into it with the shields and building it up and the power supplies and stuff like that. There's new technology coming along, relatively new technology, and this is the Feather Hazar, and which is I've just ordered, and within days, like today's Tuesday, ordered it on the week. It's mind blowing. Probably ordered on Friday. I think I ordered it on the weekend, and it's already arrived. So it's bizarre how this operates. And I don't know whether the keys are still still playing. So you press a few buttons, PayPal, and the packet arrives. And picked it up from a mate's place. You sort of don't get these things ordered. You just get them in underneath the radar. But this little Arduino is definitely on technology, which should have died in the 90s, resurrected and packaged up to survive through the 2000s, and now it's definitely going to be out of date legacy. It's only 8-bit, and the Arduino has the advantage is that it's got a direct analog to digital converter, whereas the Raspberry Pi has a lot of overhead. So the Raspberry Pi, it's got a lot of things it does, but it's got a large power supply. So if you can imagine the size of a credit card, you have all the components you need on a reasonable size computer there. You can plug in your touch screen, your mouse, your keyboard, and run. Now, far out, mate. You are pretty daring to come out of this surviving him. So, technologically, there's these things. It's Arduino, Raspberry Pi, it's got all the features, Wi-Fi features. It's just a bit expensive and it's power hungry. So if you, it needs to add on components to charge the battery. So the idea is that you have a little unit and attached, when this unit is there, you charge it up with a USB, and so traditionally there's been a very small footprint now, USB LiPo chargers, and what's happened is the market has shrunk even more, and there's this card, sort of half the size of the credit card. I've looked at it, and it's, if you hold your hands together, there's two little fingers, put them up, that's about the size of it. It's a very, very small thing, and I find it difficulty reading all the poles on it, but it's equivalent, if not better, than Arduino. It does put out 3.6 volts rather than 5 volts, which is a bit of a challenge to convert it for, a pH measurement. So the idea is that this tiny thing, you can actually connect a LiPo battery. It's got a LiPo battery plug in it. So what happens is that you plug in a LiPo battery, which is a lithium polymer battery, a mobile phone battery. It's got a plug in it. You plug it in, and this then charges off the USB port. And when it's fully charged, it's there. Now, the thing is to actually get the software to actually report to the internet its battery charge, so I can tell you. So it's plugged out, and then it's a standalone unit, and you could switch it on by, you can sleep it, and you could switch it on by various ports. You could watch a port and it could sort of power up and switch on. So for this particular thing, or you could have a switch on your LiPo battery. So that would definitely mean it's the power's off. So you can power it off. I think that would be the best way to do. But this thing is basically sits on the surface of your LiPo battery. It's got, I don't know how thick it is. I've got it's thick as a coin, and as the length of two of your little fingers together. You can wire it up, and it takes a LiPo battery, and it's wireless. It's got a wireless output. So this tiny chip, the Hazar Feather, links onto the internet, and you are just a scratch your head wiring problem to wire it up to your detector. Now the thing I do realise that I've got the detector, but it's got none of the buffer solutions with it. So I'm just going to make a probably I will ask you know why they're selling me a detector module and all this type of stuff without the buffer solutions. That's just a general question I'll ask. So what happened is that it's element 14 is in actual fact the old Farnell. Now Farnell is improved. This has gone bananas. So this is a home can order a chip. Oh, sorry, you've seen these people leave this car park. It's a miracle to see this going through. Just see what the time is, and I've got 10 more minutes talking about this. So this is great. It's just a matter of wiring it up. And downloading, you've got your editor. The Arduino editor is the same as the Hazar editor. It's you just pick the Hazar chip, and you download wireless. Now, what I don't understand, this whole horrible stuff. Is that I can pick it up, but I can't tell at this stage how quickly I can pick it up. This is excellent training, far better than a training course. Where you sit on a training course and they tell you, yeah. So you know most of the stuff in a training course, and then you've got to be really paying attention to the little bit you don't know. So if you already can pick up 80 or 90% of the stuff, training courses are not as good value as actually buying the chip and working it out for yourself. Unfortunately, that's why. So if you had to send me on a $300 training courses, or it's easier to buy the chips for him. So what I don't understand, I know how you FTP to the internet, but how you can report a value to the internet to be read out as a URL, what's it, Universal Resource Locator, how you can actually broadcast that way. This is a bit of a mystery for it. So that it will write a web address which you can look at. I can update live, so I don't know quite how that works. So what's happened here is that in general I've just have to make cut through and make critical decisions, so it looks as though that I'll be building the smart lab far faster than I intended, and it's a hard thing to beat. Now, today I've been morphing over to using mobile phone and recording on that, and what a dog's breakfast. What an absolute dog's breakfast. So it's the entire, where do I, some of the strategies, the mobile phones are excellent. You know, I've made a great feed through there. Look, I'm going to have to stop this. And this is just an update as it stands. And thanks a lot for listening. I'll update you as things go along. So the summary of it is there's a lot of new technology, which is very cheap and worthwhile. And it's just a struggle to keep up with it all. Bye for now. Thanks a lot for listening. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.